Welcome to VFN Radio's Extra Hour. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the Extra Hour is John Ramos and Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Give a shout out to all of our listeners today. We want to encourage you. We don't want you to forget about the Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day. It's going to be coming up next week. You can also like them on Facebook and find out more about that at Chick-fil-A.com. Let's eat more chicken.
Yeah.
Morning, morning, morning. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the extra hour today is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
And the one, the only, other one, John Ramos.
Good morning.
Oh, my goodness. We had a wonderful, wonderful first hour. If you missed it, be encouraged. You've got to find out that we talk about our God's healthcare plan. We talk about his healthcare plan and how very specifically that he is preparing a place for us that's much better than anything that we can get right here while we're here on earth.
Amen.
And even though it seems pleasant for a day, there's seasons. I was reading this morning, you know, in Proverbs how, you know, that crowns don't last forever.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? In every kingdom, man's kingdoms, they think, you know, this is good. This is going to go on for a long time, especially the one that's in charge.
That's right. Kingdoms come
and kingdoms go. And he says in Proverbs today, he talks about in 27 that crowns don't last forever. But then he has like a strategy right around that about what you need to take care of, how to prepare for the crown that won't last forever.
Mm-hmm.
And understand this, that Jesus's crown lasts forever, but men's crowns don't last forever, which means men's rules don't last forever. And basically it's describing get back to the basics. You know, you can find out, you need to go to VFN TV and you watch Prudent Preparation, you know, and Prudent Preparation is about being prepared when and if, you know, the crowns of America are challenged, if we go through transition. But Proverbs says that, hey, crowns don't last forever, so make sure you take care of the basics, no matter what. I mean, it could last or not last.
And that's right.
But for you, it will last. He says, do this, and that way your family will be fed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do this, that way you can survive it when the crowns switch, you know, when the crowns kick in. And I mean, God's wisdom, he has wisdom for every single thing. So don't forget about, you know, the Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day. It is next week. I'm trying to think. I think it's next Wednesday. And next Wednesday, I think, is August the 1st.
Mm-hmm.
August
the
1st, and that's when, John, you'll be hosting that of VFN Radio. And make sure you let everybody know today, go get chicken, buy chicken, you know. And chicken don't have a chance in America, but you know, and they have chicken sandwiches and different things like that, you know. And we just want to support them. We want to support them. Even if you're not hungry, buy something and go give it to somebody that is.
Yeah,
and
good.
Just let them know, just like the New Yorkers did.
Yeah.
Like you were talking about in the first hour that that in New York, when they stole the iPhone, they all got around and said, listen, this is not right.
That's right.
And I know that the women on The View, there's a program called The View, that they stood up and they said, this is not right to attack the owner of this business like this, because every one of us has a constitutional right. That's the whole thing about America. We got an original tent for America. We have to remember that you can stand up and say whatever's on your heart.
Mm-hmm.
You can share it. And ever how you want to worship God, you can worship God. As long as your freedom doesn't break my leg or steal from me, you know, hello government, you know, then, you know, go for it. You know, that's how Joseph, you know, upstate New York got his, they didn't mess with him until he started messing with the press, and he came down and he tore up the newspaper because they wrote an article about him. And then so, you know, here he had the freedom to do what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Joseph Smith here. Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon religion, you know, that for he got a chance to be able, you know, he told everybody, hey, you know, I out of visitation, and you know, the church has gone astray, you know, and mm-hmm. but God's going to start over with me, and an angel named Mormon is going to help me interpret these Egyptian tablets that actually have something to say about one particular man's family and not what he thought it did. But either way, mm-hmm. I mean, whatever he wanted to believe, he just went for it, and nobody messed with him until he decided he wanted to run for president. And somebody wrote a negative article about him. It was actually the first article that newspaper ever wrote. It was the first. You can find out about this on the Torch, the VFN Torch. You go to VFNTV.com. You need to be informed, you know, because sometimes because it was in your parents' generation, it was in your generation, you know, most people just assume it always was,
mm-hmm.
you know, because very seldom do people spend a lot of time with their great-grandparents. You know,
yeah.
and hear about their lives as much, and definitely they're great, great. They don't, and so, but he had the freedom to do that.
That's right.
No matter what they thought and what was going on, and then they started talking about, you know, plural marriages and having, you know, multiple wives and all that, and that was even flying up there. But the second when he had a negative article written about him in this paper, and you can find out about this on the Torch, like I said, that he just went down there and sent his guys down there and just burnt this place down and ripped it to shreds. And, of course, they arrested him.
Mm-hmm.
But, see, he had the freedom to be able to worship his perception of God, you know, in his new book that he wrote. It was actually authored by Joseph Smith Jr. He's the author of it. And the original book. And nobody did anything because they were fresh in their belief about the Constitution. Listen, don't mess with people. You know, as long as their freedom's not, you know, messing with you and not stealing from you, breaking it, let it go. But when he came down on somebody else's constitutional rights, when he went down there and tore down he just ransacked and destroyed.
Burnt the place down.
I mean, you already have your own city. You know, mm-hmm. you have your own city. You know, you're creating your own God book. You know, I mean, what else do you want?
You know what I'm saying?
But when somebody else decides to tap into what their freedoms and they want to express themselves, now you're going to go tear down the news press, you know. And it was probably within hours, about 24, 48 hours at that point where he got killed because mm-hmm. they arrested him for that because he broke the law. He violated the newspaper's constitutional rights by killing, you know, whatever it was. I don't know if he killed him or not. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you that, but I know he just ripped the paper apart, or his people did, and they arrested him. So he must have been involved in it.
All right.
And the details are on the Torch. I'm just trying to remember that. And then. The whole mob then comes down and they violate his constitutional rights and they go into the jail and they throw him out the window of the jail.
And he dies, right?
What's that? And he dies. He died at that point. And so prior to that, you got to understand, prior to that, you know, the Constitution allowed for Joseph to have his own religion, to write his own books, you know, to even to the point of, you know, he was having plural marriages and things were going on, which was challenging at that particular time, and that was one of the big issues. As a matter of fact, Utah was held out from a state for 49 years because they would not, Brigham Young would not renounce
bigamy.
Polygamy. Yeah. Polygamy. And
it's similar.
And and so is Jiminy. But he had all these freedoms, but once his freedom hit, his violating the constitutional rights of the press, for example, caused him to go to jail because he violated the constitutional rights. But then it created a momentum where now the people violated Joseph's constitutional right because he had a constitutional right to be protected when he was in jail, that he was still an American citizen. He still should have been protected. He should have been taken to a trial of his peers. But because what he started by violating somebody's constitutional rights, it created this whole momentum. Then all of a sudden, they just began to be a mob mentality, and they went and charged the jail, and they killed Joseph Smith.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And if we want to go there with this route, if we really want to go there and say that, you know, and it's just like some snowball effect. You know, you don't want to violate somebody's constitutional rights, you know, and we want to know what they are.
Mm-hmm.
And see, the original intent was everything was actually happening. He was doing what he was doing. And if you need to study, you can find it on the Torch, the VFN Torch. But it wasn't until he went down and destroyed the newspaper who wrote an article about him that was negative and it affected his presidential aspirations. as he wanted to run for president. The very first person who started Mormonism, you know, wanted to run for president, and now it's being, you know, it's closer than it's ever been before, and it's like, it's amazing. Yeah. Isn't that amazing? It's like,
oh, yeah.
Things that make you go think, listen, we need Jesus. Mm-hmm. We need the Jesus, the only one Jesus. And, you know, there's only one, and one Son of God, and who laid down his life and paid the price.
Mm-hmm.
And he is our Lord, and we're not going to be God. We're just going to mm-hmm. serve God under God, right?
Right.
You can find out more about that on the VFN Torch right there. Also, I want to encourage you, it's talked about yesterday, and you got to get it. You need to go also to the VFN Torch. It ain't over till it's over. You got to hear that. You got to hear it. It ain't over till God says it's over. It'll encourage you if you're going through some difficult times there, and you just need to know that God does his best work when it looks like in the natural sense that it's over, if we humble ourselves and turn to him. You know, I did want to say this as God's news behind the news. We had a chance, Pat and I were in a meeting yesterday, and when we were talking about with some people who are actually in the business arena that are talking about what would happen with these taxes and the healthcare burdens and all that different stuff. And, you know, when people talk about government, you know, they have a wrong perception of government. They're thinking that government is there to save us, you know, many mm-hmm. people do, and that they have this big, vast well of resources that they just dig from it and they throw it out to the people like you would at a hog trough, you know, mm-hmm. take some. And, you know, and we have now, which, you know, you can find out how we feel about it or how I feel about it on the Torch, VFN Torch. I think, you know, we obviously have some serious issues how we're not taking care of people. But are we going to turn to government to do it? Or are we going to do it as the church? But what we don't do by choice, because God loves people, he will do by force, you know? And so, but with that, you know, here you have all these healthcare laws kicking in. They're going to start charging the money now so that when the program itself kicks in, like in 2014, mm-hmm. then they will have, I guess, some reserves or whatever. And I haven't read the whole thing. I plead congressman. We read nothing. They just cut and pasted whatever the president said. Anyway, so... but with this, you know, for example, the McDonald's Corporation, mm-hmm. they have stores obviously around the world, and they have employees mm-hmm. full-time and part-time. Just this law alone in one company now, they're going to have to pay over $142 million or more a year. $142 million a year for their employees. And so somebody goes, well, that's right. That's what, you know, that's what those big government, big corporations, that's what they need to do. But see, then you go get your little Happy Meal.
Yeah. Hello.
And your little Happy Meal that used to be, I don't know.
Two or three bucks.
No, I know 2-3 bucks.
Is it? Well, you're in Jersey. What's a Jersey? What is it?
Actually, it was about $7.
What? Isn't that amazing? It's taxes there. Right? If anybody should be upset, it should be New York and Jersey. The taxes are horrific.
That's right.
And they're going to add taxes to your taxes.
Yep.
You know. Anyway, so... And so that means this is your Happy Meal that, you know, $7 is really unhappy for a Happy Meal.
Yeah, right.
That it could be, I don't know. It could be more. It could be
a whole lot
$14.
Yeah.
I'm $142 million. They're going to pay for it. They're not going to, because it's owned by your neighbor who owns the stock in McDonald's. I mean, they're the ones, mm-hmm. they're not going to take a loss here. They're going to pass that loss along, and they're going to raise the prices of their products. So we're about to see all the way across America, this is how we're going to pay for the healthcare program. When you go to Burger King, when you go to buy a box of cereal, when you go to get gas, all these business people, they're bearing the brunt of this. And so what they're going to do now, they're going to pass that on to you. So when you get gas, when you got gas for, you know, $4, now gas may be $5 a gallon.
Right.
You know, when you got a Happy Meal for $3 or $7, now it could be, you know, $5 and $8. When you, you know, you go shop for groceries and you buy milk, and milk is, I don't know, $4 a gallon maybe. I have not a clue.
You're pretty close. Yeah.
Really?
You're pretty close.
That was a word of knowledge. And but then, you know, milk is going to cost you more. We are the government. It's a government by the people and for the people. The government itself, understand this, the government itself, it makes no money. It generates no money. They do not go to work, and when they produce a product and then they go sell it, and then they generate money and they give it to us. What they do is they generate ideas, concepts, taxes, policies, and procedures, and they say, we need to fund it.
Which we pay for.
And then they come to us and say, listen, we're going to have to raise your Happy Meal. And they're like, that's not happy. I mean, you can't raise on our Happy Meal prices. And so it's going to be distributed all across our products and services are fixing to go up immediately because they're going to start charging right away for it. We talked also about, you know, the doctors are, there's not enough doctors to provide the health care now. There won't be enough doctors to provide the health care for that many people. And because the government's going to be the one determining how much health care you give an individual, whether you give them this or that or that or this, they feel like it's a violation of their, you have to help me with their oath, the Hippocratic oath, what do you call that?
Hippocratic oath,
that they're no longer in charge of how they render those services to an individual, and so they're lying to their patients. So doctors are all beginning to quit their practices. Wisdom, people that open us up and fix things for us on our hearts and lungs and stuff, that they are talking about now quitting the practice. So not only will we have enough, but now we're not going to have the ones that are there. A lot of them are going to be walking away. They just said, I can't sit there and lie to my patients when I'm not making the choice, but a panel decided whether you should have this treatment or not.
That's right. We don't have enough nurses either as well. There's going to be a shortage all around.
Right, and wisdom would say, change government, but wisdom would say, go back to original intent. But we're going to talk, let's just say that this was the way to go. Then wisdom would say, you know, give it 5 years and train up new doctors with new mindsets, new nurses with new mindsets, and begin to train them for your socialism experiment. Because you're going to need, when you're going to provide entire society something, which is socialism, then you're going to need people to man those social positions. I mean, you're going to need somebody that says, I'm in this for the $3 they pay me a day to be able to have, you know, give you brain surgery. It's like, let's do this, right? Not. And so faith in the Lord will increase. And,
yes, it will.
That's right.
But, you know, and so we're going to lose the doctors that we have. You know, can you imagine, you know, we talked about this and you can find out about this on the VFN Torch, but you know, a restaurant that's doing good business, you know, and they're feeding about, you know, 500 people a day, they're feeding these meals and they're doing good business. But then all of a sudden the government says, listen, you're so good at feeding people, you know, 500 a day, we want you to feed the entire community. Well, first of all, he got into business or she got into business because that's the American dream. That you can employ some people, you can have your dream, you can work hard, and you can take care of your family with that. And maybe bless a lot of people with it as well. I mean, you got those many employees, believe me, you're blessing them big time. If you have any employees, you need to thank your employer.
Right.
You need to thank your employer. They're paying dearly to have you there, and they're blessed to have you, but believe me, they're paying a lot of money to have you there, now, especially with the federal government. And so then the government says, well, now we want you to feed the whole city. And here the owner, restaurant owner says, well, I only have enough equipment to feed 500. And I'm doing that because that's what my vision is, what I'm going to do. That's my business. Right. It's my rights as American to have a business. And we're able, my family's eating because we're feeding these 500 people and these employees are working. But if you give us the whole city to feed, our employees will quit. You know, we can't afford to pay them because we spent all the money on food. And we still didn't have enough money for the food. And then our small pot that only cooks for 500 people is going to just fall apart because it can't cook for, and our stove can't handle that much traffic. You know, and our parking lot's not that big. And so what does the businessman do?
Right. Quits.
He just quits.
Yeah.
What are the doctors doing? They're quitting. And so you can't just throw government's, you can't throw your responsibility on the government, because the government's going to throw it back on somebody else, and they're just going to walk away from it.
That's right.
You know, and they're going to grow them a little garden, and you know, if they're a business person or entrepreneur, they're not concerned because they can always, they know how to survive. You know what I'm saying? We got to get that frontiersman attitude again in our hearts, because that's who founded this country, was people that could survive.
That's right. You know, make it happen.
They can totally happen. So with that, you know, I just want to encourage you that if it does stop and we rethink this thing and do provide health care in some way, but don't do it that way, then we may survive this thing. But if they throw this huge albatross of financial debt of $1.2 trillion a year or something on that local restaurant man, on these doctors, they'll just walk away from it. You know, and they'll go work for McDonald's where you shop and then you pay $75 for a burger. That's how prices, by the way, get up so high. That's why you say you can't buy a loaf of bread with all that gold. Remember, it's part of the end times because they drive the... I mean, we're like end time type prophecy things going on right here. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the whole wheelbarrow of money couldn't even buy that.
Wow.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That is.
So you need to get back to the basics. Find out Proverbs. They read Proverbs, the whole thing. You find out. Say, man, I this is what I need to do. Despite what I'm doing, I need to be a prudent person preparing. And you can see that on VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com and subscribe now. As a matter of fact, I want to say, too, to those that are on the our Apple applications out there, make sure you go to iTunes and, you know, write a review. There's people, you know, they're going to be coming and they're looking and they're trying to find encouraging words and, you know, what they can... You know, I want something to listen to. I want something to view that's going to encourage me during these times. And, of course, we're getting feedback from all of a lot of our listeners and viewers that new people will be coming from around the world. You know, we have all the way from Okinawa to Texas and throughout in Oregon
and
Africa. I mean, it's all around the world and America. And so they'll read your review. So go to iTunes, you know, type in VFN TV, and you'll find the application there. You can download it. But also, once you listen for a while, once you watch, then say, you know what, I'm going to write a review. And so other people, it's a way for you to help win people to the Lord, to encourage them to tune in to VFN Radio. We'll be right back. You know, when you think about, you know, John 15, where Jesus says, he tells us, you know, right before he's going to go to be with the Father, he says, all these things basically that I've asked of you, you know, it's impossible to do, to bear fruit. But it can be done. It's possible to do it on your own, but you can do it through the empowerment of Jesus Christ and abiding with him. And he said, my Father's the gardener, and he is the vine, and we're the branches. I mean, we all have to work together in this. And, you know, abiding is so important, but it's so easy. So many people have made it so religious that they sing it is, you know, it seems totally impossible, but it's not impossible. That's religion telling you it's impossible. As a matter of fact, I want Jamie to be able to tell you. Jamie is 6 years old, and he abides with the Lord. Just hear it in Jamie's own word. This is what your life should be like when you abide.
My name is Jamie, and I'm from Texas, and I really wish that everyone could figure out the Holy Spirit of God, and if we could follow him, we could probably be good, and God will probably make us gooder. And I think that what will we do if we could figure out if God can give us power, like following him? If we could do that, maybe we can finally figure out the Holy Spirit. And if we have a Bible and we're reading it, you might want to follow it, because it gives you more stuff to follow the Lord. And the Bible, it's what God is wanting you to do. And I think if you follow it, then you would be one of the angels from God.
Jamie is 6 years old. He's abiding with God in all we did, right, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
What did you ask Jamie?
All I asked him, what is your name?
What is your name? What you heard was a young man who's 6 years old who is abiding with the Lord. Listen, it's very simple. Religion's made it difficult. I mean, everybody wants to. You need a simple plan. A simple plan that even a six-year-old can follow. Listen, God loves you, wants to spend time with you. He has it. It's not impossible what he's asking you to do, but it's impossible to do it on your own. You can do it with an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. You want to find out more? Go to iabide.org. We have a plan waiting for you, a simple plan waiting for you. It's at iabide.org. Request your plan there, and it'll come to you immediately. Isn't it so cool? All of our Facebook fans out here and our friends that are just connected and listening all around the world.
Right.
You know, if you haven't yet friended us or liked us, I guess they call it.
Right.
When you choose like on our Facebook, it just keeps all the posts. If there's a post made about what's an upcoming program, a highlight, something, it just shows up, I guess, on your Facebook.
Mm.
You can go to VFNTV.com and under areas to follow us, and you can just follow through our Facebook right there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure.
But it's just really cool. We want to say hello and a shout out to all of our Facebook friends that are out there. It's exciting how the message is going out and the feedback that we're getting. And we want to encourage you not only to go to our Facebook and like us, but once you've done that, you know, share some of these highlights. Go to the VFN TV blog and just copy the link of one of those blogs and encourage your fellow brother, your sister, your family member, those people that are in your group of friends that are in your Facebook. So many people need to be encouraged. And now you can go into the wonderful basket of opportunity on VFNTV.com, go to the VFNTV blog, go to the highlights, and just copy something there and just paste it into your Facebook, and they'll get it and be able to listen to it on their phones or whatever. It's just really, really cool. Also, on your application, right there on your Android or your iPhone or your iPad, they're in the menu choice on the VFNTV app. You have our Facebook right there. You can click there, follow through, and like us.
You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, in the Extra Hour. And joining me here in the Extra Hour is Pat Hamilton and John Ramos.
Hello, hello, hello. Good to be here. Good to be here. I'll tell you what, this first hour has been very exciting. I can't believe how time is flying.
Mm. Well, you think about this. You know, we were speaking about, you know, what's happening with the original tent and getting back and passing that cost alone to us, you know, and it's already started already with a happy bill. You know, we can change things. We can pray about who we're going to be supporting, why we're going to be supporting them, and how to sustain our country, how we're going to be able to make this, you know, and pass this alone. And we can do it and pass it on to our children by maintaining the original tent of our country. I encourage you to get the a little pocket version of the U.S. Constitution and Declaration of Independence and carry it with you. And when you have time, just read it. Just read little bits and pieces of it and go back to the VFN Torch to be able to hear the segments that we've done. It's called Original Ten about the Nation. And you just want to know what you actually stand for. Constitution is what holds us all together and this country together. And then that acknowledges God that holds us together as a people and as a person. You know, we talked about yesterday. We began a conversation about the original tent of the church. And in that, we have so much to say about that because you know, God took us on a journey of rediscovering. I think about Josiah. You know, King Josiah was a young king, and in that they were digging out the old place where they used to worship God. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. And there's a place in your heart right now as you're listening. There was a place that you used to go and you'd worship God. It was just you and God. It was such an awesome place, and but in the natural sense at that time, they were the place that the temple where they had went to worship God at the tabernacle, it was just filled with all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, we're not using that anymore. Let's just go ahead and put entertainment there. You know, let's go ahead mm-hmm. and put, you know, stuff. And all of a sudden they just begin to just whatever they stored stuff in the right. temple. And, with that, he decided to, go and have it cleaned out and start cleaning. When they were digging through the temple, they found the Word of God. They found the Word of God. And in that, he realized when they're reading it, that it's like, we're not doing this.
Oh, wow.
We're not doing this. And he's, and the Word says, if we do this, then God will protect us. God will bless us. And why aren't we doing this? But he's king.
Right.
So he says, we're going to do this.
Right.
The same thing Jehoshaphat did, the very same thing. And King Jehoshaphat. But anyway, so Josiah, so they begin to say, hey, what does it say? How do you do this and how do you do that? Okay, that's how God wants us to do it. I want to send teachers out. I want to tell everybody. And this is what we got to do. We got to rediscover the original intent of God for us. You know, and you may have a lot of things. Says, no, you're not. You're the temple of God, that God's Spirit dwells inside of you. You know, which means you can't go clean a building out and think your life's going to change. You're going to have to clean your heart out and your life's going to change. You know, if you want to get the world together, you got to get the man together. It's you, you know. And so we've got to begin to find out, what is God's original intent for me? What is the manual that he gave me to be able to operate my life? Right. And so we begin to just dive into the Word and abide with God. You know, John 15, Jesus tells us that you can do nothing outside of abiding with him. And so the core of what we've done and what we did for years trying to get people to do, you know, that now we came up with a simple plan to help you begin abiding with God. I mean, it's, believe it or not, something that was you were called to do, now you have to be taught to do it, because so many people have been trying to do it, do what you can only do. They've been trying to tell you that I can do it for you, what you can only do for yourself. Listen, you stand alone before God. You stand alone before God. And in that, you're going to have to answer to God. You're going to have to answer for the very fact of your life and what you did with it, what you did with your operator's manual. You know, what are you doing with God's Word? And so with that, you know, Josiah saw, he goes, man, I want to do it. And that's what we're doing. We begin to just find out, what is God, what do you want, Lord? You know, what do you want from us? What is the church supposed to be like? Mm-hmm. And then we begin to read about the book of Acts, you know, about the acts of the church. It's called Acts because it's what the church acts like. You know, these are things we're supposed to be like that. So when you read Acts, it should be an autobiography of your life as a believer. It's not something that happens when an evangelist blows in, blows up, and blows out. You know, it's supposed to be your life, you know, to set you on fire for God, the things of God. And one thing they talk about in the book of Acts, when you read it, you got to change your mindset and don't read it as a history book, but read it as an operation manual. Read it as, this is how my life's supposed to be if I declare that the Lord is my Lord and that he dwells with me. And I'm going to abide with him until he tells me what I need to do, until that's happening in my life.
Right.
And the thing that sets us apart as God's people is his presence. It's his presence that sets us apart. It's his presence that sets us apart. And knowing that if his presence is not with you, first of all, you know, what are you doing? You know, as a believer, you want his presence. That's what you're designed for. You're designed for the presence of God. That's your reward, is God hanging out with you. That's what Adam and Eve lost in the garden, and lost for us in the garden. But that's what we got back through Jesus Christ when they went into the upper room waiting for the church to be birthed. And it got birthed with an explosion, what they call Pentecost. When Jesus ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father, he sent the Holy Spirit down while they were gathered, 120, mind you, at that point of Jesus' ministry after 3 years, were gathered together in the upper room. And all of a sudden, with an explosion, bam, you know, with a fire, you know, almost like tongues of fire on people's head, the church exploded. And no matter what people tell you, that is the freshest expression of the church. I mean, that is, how could that be wrong if that's exactly, if God was telling, like, this is day one, A, B, C, D, right. E, this is the basics.
The birthing,
I mean, the power of God. And all of a sudden, people began to speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance, and people were understanding in their own language what was going on. I mean, people were getting saved. Peter was preaching Jesus and him crucified and saying, you need to repent and be baptized, and thousands were being saved. And all of a sudden, they were gathering in their homes all over the place, eating together, praising God, dedicated themselves to the apostles' teaching. People feared coming amongst them.
That's right.
And God added to their number daily those being saved. I mean, people are supposed to fear coming amongst you if you're the church and they're not the church. But you're advertising to bring in people that don't even know Jesus, and they're going to dine on the sheep.
Wow.
D-I-N-E, dine on the sheep. I mean, Paul warned day and night, that wolves would come in amongst you, come in amongst your number. And it, with tears, he said, he warned. He never stopped warning them. And us as shepherds, I would encourage the shepherds, and also the sheep, listen, you know, the church is not a building or a place. It's you, the body of Christ. So nobody can join you unless they're part of a church, unless they're a believer.
That's right.
And then God dwells in them. Then God dwells in them. And when he dwells in you and in him, then they're the church. And you just recognize that they are the church. You recognize that they're part of the body of Christ. And then you fellowship with the Lord and with each other. So understanding that it's we've entered into some strange, we've adopted men's philosophies and ideas and that say, you know, we need to bring marketing in. We need to market Jesus. We need to market. If we can get some people, you know, together in our crowd right here. And listen, I mean, you know, a person who, I mean, Charles, what is the, Marilyn Manson. Marilyn Manson can get a crowd.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, I don't know where Marilyn Manson is today, but he can get a crowd. You know, I mean, just I can name people all day long who can get a crowd. The question is that crowd the body of Christ?
That's right.
You know, and so the first thing we started finding out is that, you know, a lot of people want to talk about Jesus, but they don't want to know Jesus. You know what I'm saying? And so
that's right.
Then you have to say, okay, cool. I'll honor that decision because Jesus said in Luke 10, this is how you do it. You tell them about Jesus, the real Jesus, not the other Jesus. You know, and there's like a lot of different, you know, do you like iPhone covers? Do you want this iPhone cover? You want the iPhone cover? How about this one, you know? And do you want this Jesus or that Jesus or another? There's only one Jesus.
There's only one.
And Paul said, if anybody preaches you to another Jesus, you know, that they're of the devil.
Right.
False apostles. And so we began to say, wow, you know. And so we began, and we did a lot of studies about it. And it started, by the way, we just responded to the voice of God. I mean, God spoke to us very specific. He began to make us very uncomfortable in our present condition. And he spoke to me and began to just literally, I got just sick of men's philosophies. And I just couldn't, it was just repulsive to me. And it's what God did. God was doing something. And it's like, you know, one more riddle, one more rhyme, or you're going to drive me out of my mind, you know?
Yeah, right.
And it's just like, you know, that it was just, I couldn't get close to religion.
Right.
You know, it just, I could not do it without literally thinking I was going to wolf my cookies. And so I just go, you know, what meanest thou this? Like Mary did, you know, when she, what meanest thou this, God? So I've been again to seek the Lord. I told nobody about it. And I remember the next thing was that, without any details in the context of that, but I know that God began to deal with you, Pat, right?
Sure did.
What happened?
Yeah. I was just sitting there one morning and, just felt really, really anxious. Just, I could not sit still. I mean, it was just something all over me. I felt like my heart was just going to explode in my chest. And, I eventually had to get up, walk out, and make a phone call and say, what's up?
Right.
You know?
And so that was huge, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was huge.
Yeah, and I didn't tell you where I was. I was still thinking, you know, what meanest thou this? You know, I'm trying to, you know, what is God saying, you know? And I know that Chris, you know, Chris as well, he, you know, he's not here to be able to talk, but he, all of a sudden, one day, you know, in a religious setting, his ears started ringing so loud that he could not. It was like this bell sound, this ringing in his ears. And it was supposed to be a good thing that was going on, but he couldn't. It was just a tingling cymbal, you know what I'm saying? It was just a ringing in his ear. And so he didn't know what was going on because nobody talked to him. And so he picks up the phone and he calls. I guess he called you, right? He called.
Yeah, actually, I called him, and then he told me what happened.
Oh, that was happening. And so, and John, I mean.
Yeah, I had my own experience. I mean, it wasn't this guy had been dealing with me for a while and speaking to me, and I had that same thing in my spirit where I was just like, right. God, what is up? You know, I this is not about entertainment. You know, this isn't coming after you, you know, seeking you, God. It's not about two songs and stopping. I mean,
right.
It's about experiencing you. It's about the presence. It's not about watching our time and our clocks. It's about there has to be more. Mm-hmm. And in seeking the Lord, he showed me, you know, he showed us. And I'm grateful that he did.
Right. And the thing is that, you know, God's called us to himself. I mean, he wants to have a relationship with you. Mm-hmm. And he's not satisfied with you only having a relationship with someone else. He wants you to know him. And God begins to do a new thing when he does a new thing. And so the Lord just really spoke to us as we got together trying to figure out what God's saying.
Mm-hmm.
You know that he's sick of it.
Mm-hmm.
His heart's broken over it.
Right.
It's nothing but a ringing bell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's time to follow God. It's just time to follow him. You know, no more, just don't do one more thing of men's philosophies, you know. And how can you add to God anyway? When you think about it, how can you add to him? But we had to revisit that because, mm-hmm. you know, you thought you needed a $1.5 million budget. You got to do that because George Barna statistics say that it takes $1.3 million to baptize one believer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, think about it. I mean, you just don't need $1.5 million. You need two big screen TVs. You need...
Right.
You know, all this other stuff with it. And it's like, really?
Right.
Really? My question is, why don't we export
mm-hmm.
the gospel, you know, that we have well, here that we see
well, you bring up a good point, you know,
religion?
You bring up a good point because if you leave America, you'll find out America, most of the church, it's not in America, by the way, does not look like the American church. You know, it mm-hmm. looks like the book of Acts. You know, when I was in Israel, I was ministering in Israel, you know, I was going from house to house in Israel. And these are the business leaders. These are the ones that everybody talks about in America, for example. And they go, you know, I was just speaking to the, you know, minister so-and-so and, you know, in Tel Aviv or, you know, it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, but he doesn't meet in the same way you meet. He actually meets a different way. And you talk highly of the way, I mean, he's God's meeting with them. You know, Yahshua is in their presence
mm-hmm.
and they're weeping and oh, just powerful.
Isn't that all that matters?
It's all about Jesus, man.
In the midst.
Mm-hmm. It's all
if
about,
we're coming for any other reason, mm-hmm. any other thing that's appealing to our flesh or to right. what we like, and God's not there, I'm greatly concerned.
Right.
And now the question we got to ask ourselves, is God enough? Is God in our midst enough? And that's, yes, he is.
Right. Well, I'm hoping that we make available today, Desperate for Your Glory. It's totally ready to go up, an audio of that on VFN TV.
Mm-hmm.
We make sure we get that today. That that's where we have to be because, you know, what God is saying, you know, is where's the glory? Where's the glory? We should be saying, every one of us should be saying, you know, where is the glory? You know,
that's
where
right.
is the glory, which means the presence of God. Remember, Moses comes down out of the mountains and his face had so much glory on it that he had to cover his face with a veil. We should be glowing with the glory of God. And understand this, that you can get familiar with God. You know, that God's with you, but you just start taking it for him for granted and his presence for granted. And other people are still reacting to the glory of God on your life, but you don't even know what's happening. And you start accrediting it to yourself and
that's
thinking
right.
you're the one that's doing that instead of God's presence doing that. And all of a sudden his glory departs, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, you know, Eli.
Right.
You know, Eli, he just did his own thing. He did his
that's
own
right.
thing. And because of that, you know, with God's things, and the mm-hmm. glory departed, and he has a son, and his son was named, and his sons died, Eli died, and Ichabod, Ichabod's mother, his grandson's mother died, and the name Ichabod, which means the glory's departed.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, you know, in the church that we don't look, a lot of the church doesn't look any different than the world. Mm-hmm. You don't know if you're in a business board meeting or the Father's business
that's
meeting.
Right.
It's kind of like the same thing, you know. The politics are like integrated, you know, in the context of that. So anyway, we started thinking, you know, experimenting and studying those that have gone before us and reading. And we just kind of went, said, everybody go seek God. Everybody
right.
that God was hearing, just like we didn't jump on anything. It's like, go seek God and let's see what he's saying. And eventually, after seeking the Lord and God was really in, God is really, and by the way, God is really into his kingdom, and he began right away. It was amazing. I mean, right away, you know, people that we had never met before began coming over and they're wanting to know the wisdom of God, and they're wanting to know things. It's like, it's just, I realized at that point, you know, being foundational, that we had to really begin to work in a hurry and learn what God was doing, like Josiah did, and go back and read the word like David did when he found out that his best men died when he tried to be able to bring the glory in. Mm-hmm. This is very dangerous. The Father's business, although awesome, mm-hmm. is very dangerous if you don't do it properly and honor right. God in it. And so with that, a prophetic word came to me that the Lord had on my heart. Through Dutch Sheets is where I got the word. Mm-hmm. And it was, I'm going to teach you something for the next 3 years that the Lord's going to, I'm going to teach you something for the next 3 years that the church is going to use for the next 30. Mm-hmm. And so immediately at that point, you know, we realized those that were being heard from the voice of the Lord, only those that heard from God's voice, we got together and then we needed to become what we were going to reproduce.
That's right.
So we took 3 years to be able just to learn. We went through a lot of learning curves and seeing, oh, this is God, that's not God. And we studied those that had gone before us. And it was like, I think a big move came of prophets prophesying, you know, what needed to happen. But mm-hmm. without the apostles coming in, it kind of looks chaotic and it looks mm-hmm. kind of confusing. It's not that the prophets weren't doing the right thing. It was just that then the apostle kind of has to come in and start bringing some foundational order to that and how to work together, apostles and prophets working together. And then because, you know, my heart, when I saw a lot of things happening in what, you know, people may call it a micro church, or they may call it home church or home church networks or church in the home, it depends what it is, mm-hmm. that it's all the same. No matter where you are as a church, there is no different procedure. There is no there's a way of God, whether you're in a building, whether you're in a coffee shop, the church has one way of doing it, and it's in the Bible. And when you work your way away from that, you've left the ways of God. So if you're in a building, it's church in a building. Mm-hmm. If you're in a coffee shop, it's church in the coffee shop. They're in the coffee shop. If the church is in the house, it's church in the house. It's not house church. The church is in the house.
Right.
That makes
right.
sense. Mm-hmm. Nothing's supposed to be different in regards to what God requires of us and expects of us to be able to do that. And so those things that we saw and we studied, this beautiful sacrifices and things that people did to be able to get to this point. You know, I think about, you know, Mega Chef and Jim Rutz's book. I think about I don't have that on me. I don't think right here. Just those that have gone before us, and I noticed that many people they didn't have this continual care or responsibility, it seemed, for what happened to God's people. Mm-hmm. You know, and that has always been on my heart. You know, what's going to happen? You know, yeah, I can do this, but can the church at large do this? Can this be reproduced? This husband and wife can have a son or a daughter, but can that son and daughter be a mother and father, and can they do the same thing? I mean, that's the whole thing about progression mm-hmm. and the Lord. And so as he began to teach us, and my concern was, because you're going to be held accountable for what you're doing and what you're reproducing, and how to have apostolic oversight and how to recognize apostles in the body of Christ all over that God has in their heart and stirring to build foundation for what he's doing in this day, because it's the apostle that's going to, God's going to give that apostle and a strategy to reach the next generation.
No, right.
It's kind of like history. You can study history that previous moves of God or apostles of previous works will be just shocked mm-hmm. that God's doing a new thing, and they tend to fight against the new thing. Mm-hmm. But I think the purpose of that is to keep separation from the old and new. You know, God's not concerned about your feelings and how you feel, but he's concerned about his kingdom. And if you tie the two together, and that's what everybody thinks it's supposed to be like, if you tie the two together, then you're going to destroy them both. Mm-hmm. But you can honor what was while you're doing what is. You mm-hmm. know, you can do both, honor that. And so with that, you know, we began to just say, you know, the order has to be brought. And so God began to reveal a pattern to us over this 3-year period that we're following today in churches around the world. And we're just getting started, as a matter of fact, you know, there's so many things that we're going to fill. God's shown us stadiums mm-hmm. being filled with the church. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? It's church in the stadium. The right. stadium is not a church, but it's church in the stadium. And imagine this. Imagine the Georgia Dome, totally filled with abiding believers, people that hear God's voice, who follow him, who spend time with him, and every one of them truly does have an indivisible relationship with Jesus Christ. And that roar coming out of the stadium, just bellowing out for our return, Lord's return, it's like the spirit of Elijah calling for the return of the Lord, preparing the way of the Father. I'm telling you where things are going. But see, the whole thing is that when God was saying, hey, the new regime is coming in, or the old regime's going out, that most people were scared of what was going on. You know, most people were scared of all the threats. You'll find, when you're talking about, we're talking about spirits here, when you find a people that's held captive, listen to what they're saying. You'll hear things like, if it's a Jezebel spirit, you know, an Ahab-type spirit, that they're actually saying fearful things. They're threatening. They're doing all this different kind of stuff. And it's not them, but it's what's got them. You know what I'm saying? And you'll actually hear it across a whole community or a whole. I mean, you're hearing it come from Washington, D.C., that we're being threatened. Fear is being promulgated, you know, and you got to do this or, you know, type thing. And it fears people into following the wrong thing. But with that, you know, God changes the regime. I mean, think about Israel, Ahab, and Jezebel. That actually Ahab was supposed to be over Israel, and he was chosen by God to be over it. He let his wife lead him astray. He married Jezebel, and although the name Jezebel seems like a lot of, you know, luggage with that, that was her name. It was like her name could be
Sue, Mary.
Sue, yeah. I was even being careful with that. I took one of our listeners, he's talking about me. And so, you know, everybody has some name. And so that was his wife's name. And so he started following his wife instead of following the Lord. And let me tell you right now, I'll just tell you up front right now, that the spirit in the land is you have parents following children, you know, husbands following wives, shepherds following sheep. And it's all upside down. You have teachers following students. You have law enforcement following the people. You have authority. Right. You have judge. I mean, it's just upside down. It's upside down from way God. And so, and now it's even accepted. It's like, what's the big deal about that? Let me explain to you the big deal. It ain't God.
Right.
You know, it is a way. It's a philosophy. It's a concept. But it's a shame for you to be doing that. You shouldn't be doing that. That there's order to things. There's order to things and how God does it. And that order was so bad that God said, I regretted the day that I ever chose Ahab to be king. He says, because, two things, you let your wife lead you astray. And second part was, you did not abide with me. You didn't seek me. You didn't inquire of me. Well, David, he made all kinds of mistakes, second king, but he abided. He found if he was wrong. He found out in his abiding time. Like,
he sought the Lord.
He sought the Lord, you know. And when I talk about abiding, I'm talking about, you know, sometimes your abiding experience when you're hanging out with God, it's like, man, you're doing so good. I'm so proud of you. And another abiding experience is like, what in the world are you doing? You know, and a father corrects.
Yeah,
that's right.
He does.
And so, you know, that's abiding with God. Listen. He truly can have, and you truly can have a personal relationship with God. Acts 17 says specifically, he designed everything. Mm-hmm. He holds everything together in Colossians, but back to Acts 17, then he says he did all of this and chose your address and everything around you to see if you would reach out and acknowledge exactly what I'm talking about, that you can have a personal relationship with him, though he's not far from you. And the only way the church can really be the church, if we let Jesus be the Lord of the church.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, we're going to continue this conversation about the original intent of the church, And but I do want to remind you as we're progressing, don't forget about the marathon weekends. Marathon weekends on VFN Radio is that week's VFN Radio programs back to back. What it means is that 9 a.m. on Central Time on Saturdays, you will start a 24-hour broadcast will begin and place program like Monday's program first hour. Monday's extra hour, then Tuesday's, and it goes back to back. So literally while you're relaxing, maybe sharing time with friends, that when you turn on VFN Radio on your phones or your iPads or your computers or your smart TVs or whatever, that you can listen to that entire week's program. Of course, we got highlights, but don't forget the marathon weekend back.
That's awesome.
To back. Yeah, it is. So getting back to the original intent of the church, and this is so exciting. It's sort of like saying, you know, so I'm like, okay, you know, right, going, you're saying this. Really? Oh my goodness, you mean all this stuff that God's had in my heart, you know, that I remember just talking to somebody recently, and they're in a traditional, you know, expression, you know, mm-hmm. of they attend, you know, basically at a building, and it's chaotic there. It's totally chaotic. Sure. And the leader has fallen, you know, mm-hmm. in the situation. But when you're alone, let me tell you something. When you're alone, right. It's not will you fall, it's when you fall and how will you fall.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to be alone, you know, and you want to be with family. You want to be with brothers and sisters in the Lord. And everybody's not a brother or sister, you know. Right. But he felt, I mean, all this time he's been there helping as an assistant, you know, to that situation. And he didn't feel it was okay for him to pray for people.
To pray.
And the thing is, we got to go back and remember. If we forget what it was like, you know, when God first called us to do, you know, what we're doing, that it was a whole different mindset. Because right. if anybody was traditionalist, I mean, we were traditionalists. We loved the church. I mean, anywhere the church was gathering, that's what we wanted to do. You know, I actually started and founded and led a traditional church expression, and quickly I learned that you know, how they're supposed to operate according to men's philosophies and traditions. No matter how much you expected people to do what they heard, there was just a whole bunch of here going on. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And but with that, we learned also with that, it's, you know, when you follow God, you set your hand to the plow. You don't look back.
Right.
And the great commission, the great expectation of God is not a great suggestion. I mean, that's for all of us, you know. Mm-hmm. And so we found out that the fear of the Lord came upon us. I mean, we have so many stories about the fear of God that you don't have to. I mean, God holds this church together. You don't need fences have the fear of God. But if you don't have a fear of God, stay in that corral, in that fence. I don't care what kind of, it's a stucco fence, mm-hmm. whether it's a shopping center fence, mm-hmm. because you're going to be devoured outside of the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord restrains you and keeps you. But we saw, you know, people that just said, oh, you know, I was, listen to this. Oh, we don't have a lot of time. You got to continue with us on these original intents of the church, because we have so many things to tell you about. We've seen miracles. We've seen tragedy. We've seen those that try to come against what God's doing, you know, literally fall to their knees choking for 4 hours because they could not stand in the presence of God. We've seen people fall to their seat and begin to cry out, even though they were tending a leadership position in a traditional large mega church mm-hmm. expression, and they were telling us how to do it. And we were just loving God. When God's presence showed up, he fell to his chair. He began to scream out and cry out, you know, and said, mm-hmm. I've sinned. I'm a sinner, because the presence of God fixes everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He fixes everything. As you know, as firemen put out fire,
That's right.
That the presence of God puts out sin. It deals with sin. It's very powerful. We're coming to the end of our extra hour. We're going to continue these conversations about the original intent of the church. We got some awesome testimonies to share with you. Don't forget about the Marathon Weekend. It's all weekend long, starting at 9 a.m. Central, back to back. God bless and have a wonderful weekend. Also, don't forget about the Olympics. Let's enjoy, get back, and support America. You can find out more on VFNTV.com.